This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So you find us in the second hour of the Power Zone on Power 98.7. Calvin Rafadi is our guest here, and we're talking about developments coming out of the criminal underworld, or what we call law enforcement in the country. We saw Police Minister Bekicele saying to us that KwaZulu-Natal is a problematic province when it comes to issues of law enforcement. This is a province that has been identified here as the top suppliers of hitmen, and the Police Minister we hear has been meeting with its donors here in Gauteng and in KwaZulu-Natal on collaborative efforts to try address this scourge. Just trying to come through as well, just looking at how then various sectors of the society can help the police in ensuring that crime becomes a thing of the past. So Calvin is one person that is privy to some of these developments around this space, and he comes through to give us a sense of how then we are looking at these efforts and what we can expect from officials in this regard. We're on 0861-987-000 at Katlego Logodi underscore at Power FM 987. Calvin, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning, Katlego. How are you?
I'm okay, man. How are you doing?
All right, man. I firstly want to take the opportunity to say thank you to you, Katlego, Power FM, and your producers, Livuani and them, the whole team. You guys are fantastic. So basically what happened, University of Johannesburg, UJ, they've actually appointed me to be one of their associate researchers. So, hey, it's a great move, and I'm so happy that you guys are the first people to recognize me and give me those opportunities to analyze issues of crime.
Yeah, no, you know what? Your win is our win, and we really appreciate you for always coming through. I mean, it's tricky around this time. So when we have guests that always just understand what we're doing and what we're trying to push here, they rally with us in the early hours of the morning. And that means a lot to us as well. So congratulations are in order. And yeah, we wish you everything of the best, man. You really have, come far where this is concerned, and we're still going to benefit a lot, especially the University of Johannesburg, the greater Johannesburg community, in terms of your services here.
I thank you very much. Now, speaking of issues of izinkabi, or the so-called hitmen, now we need to, you know, like, expose them more of their modus operandi. Now, this particular, the minister has said, that they work interchangeably via Joburg hostels and some of the, you know, squatter camps around here in Joburg. They get to come and hide at this site. And then interchangeably, most of them, they originate from KZN. Now, the reason for the Izin donor is because they are the ones who normally would know who stays in the hostels and who is actually from the areas of KZN and what is their role in those particular hostels. Now, they've made means, you know, in the imbizos to highlight some of their issues that they get frustrated, whereby most of izinkabis, even when they tip off the police, they feel that they are not properly listened to. And sometimes even when the police come and raid this particular izinkabis, you know, whether arrest them or even come to a point where there's a crossfire and they shoot at them, that they are not informed prior. Now, I've done raids with most of the police in the hostels or even in some of the areas where Schedule 6 criminals are wanted. Why we call them Schedule 6? They are very violent, they are well-armed, heavily armed, and they are trigger-happy. Now, those type of operation, that's where now crime intelligence will come in and analyze who are we looking for. Now, the commander of the unit will then arrange special task force in the SAPS, NIU, National Intervention Unit, even public order policing, or TRT. They are the ones who go on the forefront, not just the normal detective, and apprehend this particular criminal. So we've seen a sketch of this particular criminal retaliating and being shot by police. But in all of this, what you call modus operandi, these criminals, even when they go and kill, or sometimes when they before they do the killing, they perform certain rituals. Yeah. Now, we've been saying that crime intelligence, they need to infiltrate, go on covert operation, and get all the traditional healers that perform this particular ritual. So that's the only way to eradicate and understand how and what we are dealing with.
It's a lot. And when you look at it, just greater coordination here, coming together, collaboration in terms of tackling this scourge would go a long way, because it also speaks to the issue of the rampant guns that are making the rounds here, that often are brandished even by those that are suspected to be behind this. But I want us to listen to the minister here and what he was saying when he was addressing this issue, where he gave us a sense of actually the problematic area of KwaZulu-Natal, and how then, you know, in this regard, we see some of these developments tending to affect issues of law enforcement. You're right as well to say that we see the movement between Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. And here, we even see those that are intercepted in cases like Yosenzo or Meiwa Mere trial. They're said to be a hitman. You know, you listen to, or you look at the case of AKA, some of those that are arrested there, they're said to be a hitman. So when you look at it, these are cases whereby we get a sense indeed of whether the police are getting it right or not, or whether there's a need for greater coordination from various community sectors. Let's listen to the minister. When we come back, we'll reflect some more.
Igebengu eyiningi iyinkabi ziphuma KwaZulu-Natal. Funa ukuyiphinda nikhona. Uyabona kuleli cala likaSenzo. Lo mfana wokuqala uNtuli uphuma osuthu. Ugwetshwa iminyaka odilika jela abawu-6. Wabulala ngisho ikhansela uNyembe kaNongoma. So kulaba bantu mazi kahle ugwetshwe odilika jela abayisithupha, kodwa usakwelinye icala lokubulala. Kubulawe ummeli eCape Town eminyakeni emithathu ehambisa iy'ngane zakhe esikoleni ekuseni. Ummeli wasemajaji bamkhofa ngesibhamu ekuseni. Baboshiwe abantu abambulala, bathatha baseshowe. Abaseshowe basuka le bayobulala umuntu eCape Town, abayazi neCape Town. Emva kokumbulala abanangisho imoto yokubaleka bayogibela itekisi, sibabamba esitop. Ungasuka la yobulala umuntu uloyogibela itekisi, usumbulele. Bathathu abaseshowe, basejele ababili benza udilika. Ubulawe ijiji la lendi yeThembisa lakwaHand labulawe. Abantu esibabambile ababoshiwe bawu-6 abasemnambithi bonke abasemnambithi. So uma ngiyikhuluma le nto angiyisuse ekhaya, ngiyisuse ebalweni ukuthi la khona bulawa khona umuntu sikhona ezakithi.
Yeah, the minister just admitting there in terms of what is happening, what he's picked up as well around the movement here. And this looks like, you know, it looks like the police have their work cut out for them here, Calvin, in dealing with this. He just gave us a sense as well of cases that you see even moving to other provinces. That case of what happened in Johannesburg, what happened, the minister gave us a sense of what happened in Cape Town as well, where this is concerned. It looks like really this is just, the police have their work cut out for them here.
Yeah, no, indeed. And another department that as a stakeholder that we need to somehow put accountability is Department of Justice. I mean, if somebody is arrested on brutally killing someone, there's a life sentence, which is 25 years equivalent. And you find some of these people are out on bail, and of which they are not even supposed to. Like we said, it's a Schedule 6. But Department of Justice somehow needs to play a big role, that if police, even though sometimes they do their work, they need to be supported. You know, the crime must feed the punishment. But in the same area, we also want to highlight that Inkabis, as long as we see them spreading all over, they come in categories. Now, there are big bosses which gives the instructions, and some are sitting in prison, some are taxi bosses, some, you know, they are into business, like we've seen in construction mafia, it's becoming a big industry as well. But they come in big categories, and one needs to understand that to deal and understand the data on how they operate or to even infiltrate them only by a covert operation. If I'm an informant, for instance, like I've been, you know, in many years, if I say Kakeho is one of the hitmen or the mastermind, and I give the police the cell phone number, a private number of that, that person must be, the Department of Justice, which is the judge or the magistrate, must sign what we call interception section 70, I think, of the Criminal Procedure Act, and they need to be intercepted. So meaning you cannot just let them loose and just have a phone number of Izinkabi, but not knowing where are they, who are they talking to, and what they are up to. So those are some of the measures that the partnership of crime intelligence, partnership of Department of Justice, they need to up their game. And, you know, live monitor these particular criminals.
Most definitely. And yeah, it's just so interesting to hear you talking about issues of categories. And one thing that we know about their modus operandi as well is that they operate to kill. And if we have these categories and we see this as an industry, an underworld industry that over the years have seen the police saying is problematic and we're not getting to the bottom of it, it says to us that each and every day, each and every year, then we'll be counting the bodies of those that have lost their lives here from these particular Izinkabis. Let's welcome Nick, who's calling us from Pretoria. Nick, you want to weigh in on what we're discussing this morning? Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, and thanks for the wonderful topic. Yeah. And also thanks for your guest for his wonderful contribution. My contribution on this issue is that they honestly need to be a clear punishment. If government is not willing to punish people very, very with pain, if you cause pain to someone, you must be also punished with pain. Mm-hmm. Government needs to introduce a death penalty whereby if you kill somebody, you are also going to be killed. People must be aware that if I do this crime, if I kill, the Nkambis must know that if I kill somebody, I'll also be killed. That will scare them because no one would want to also be killed. Because if you pay money, if they're going to be paid money and they sit in jail, and at the end of the day, government is going to be looking after them, where else they've killed somebody. The likes of Oscar Pretorius, they've killed somebody. Government gives them parole. I mean, it's very, very disturbing. Mm. The families are suffering. The families are left behind. The whistleblowers who come up and give evidence, they are also being killed. Government needs to send a clear message to say that if they are really, really serious about removing this crime, they need to bring a death penalty, because if someone kills, the Nkambis will also be scared. They will know that if I kill somebody, I'm also going to lose my life. So there's no money that will buy somebody's life, because they'll also be scared. Because when they go to prison, government is looking after them on the expense of people who are suffering outside, on the expense of the taxpayers' money, whereby government feeds them and the families are left without a breadwinner. Those children that are left without a father, government is not looking after those children. So many victims, so many people are suffering outside. I think even also these Nkambis, I think they are the people that are being used in the cash in transit heist, because these people, they are not scared to shoot and kill. They are willing to put their lives on the line. So if government can say cash in transit, death penalty. If you kill somebody, you'll also be killed. That is why in the Bible, God even wrote day. It was say that if you kill somebody, you are also going to be killed. In the olden days, people were very, very disciplined. People knew the punishment that they would get. So if government can send a clear message to say that, no, we cannot allow people to be to lose their lives, and then they will be sitting there and government is looking after them, where else their families are suffering for years and years.
Yeah.
There needs to be a punishment so that the clear message is sent. Because some of these people, they don't only come to Gauteng. They go out to Mozambique, they cannot be found. They go out to Botswana, they go out to Tanzania. You can see Thabo Bester, he ran to Tanzania. Luckily, they trust him. These people, they run around and they paid a lot of money. So it's sometimes difficult to trace where they are running. It may be few that are going to Gauteng, but others, they go to far places where police can't even trace them.
Yeah, we hear you, Nick. Thank you very much
for your contribution. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, for your time. Nick calling us there from Pretoria. And you hear him here, Calvin, talking about a solution being through the death penalty, saying that you fight fire with fire when you look at it, and that maybe this can come across as somewhat of a deterrent. I mean, also when you look at it, the issue and what you've mentioned around the justice system coming through for us here as a society becomes very important, because some of these hitmen, when you hear the minister talking there, you can hear that these are people that have had cases, you know, before, previous cases, and some of the cases are still active cases that are before the courts, but they're out. They've been released. They're out on bail, and they went, you know, to commit further crimes here, killing more people. So do you think there's a need to relook our justice system, relook our approach to these people, and maybe even consider a death penalty like what Nick is suggesting here?
Yeah, no, hey, Branik, we understand, we are all frustrated, especially if you lose someone close in your family.
Yeah.
You get such frustration. Now, you know, speaking of which, I spoke to one man. He said, in South Africa, we don't have prisons. We've got correctional services. Mm. And unfortunately, because it's a democratic country, that's what we deal with, correctional services, whereby you as a taxpayer, now you have to wait for someone who has killed to be rehabbed, even under your expense. So it is very unfortunate. That's how it goes. But now, you know, in the old days, during apartheid, what used to happen, as you heard me some time ago, I speak of what we call a 14 bag. Now, what is a 14 bag? 13. It's when if your car is stolen, it's stored at £13. If you've got a watch and other valuable stuff, they store it in a 13 storage. Now, 14 bag, it's a body bag. Now, in the old apartheid days, what they used to do, they will come to Shoshanguve and say, who's the mastermind? Who's the role model here? Because, you know, these people, because they act with impunity and so brazen, they are feared, they are known in the communities, they are in and out of prison, arrested and in and out, like what the frustration of the ministry has said. Now, the police will make sure that they get an informant who's very close to that particular person, and they will make sure that one day they come across him and they will eradicate him. So they put him in a 14 bag. They make sure they kill him. So those were the operation of those days. They will come, shoot to kill, knowing that already that the 14 bag number is out for this particular Calvin in Shoshanguve. So it used to happen in the old days. But nowadays, because we live in a democratic country, it is very unfortunate that somebody has to be arrested and go through the correctional services. But what it's worrying about this Inkabis, there's a lot of recruitment from as early as 14 years, even younger than that, whereby the big categories, the big fishes, they recruit even young boys. So one needs to, you know, one of the things when we do qualitative research, we need to look at how a boy child grows in KZN. From even going as far as initiation school, why there's dropouts at school, and what is this so-called intelligence, what is the role? Because, you know, some people, when you speak of Inkabis, they think that they use different guns to go and kill. No. They respect their gun. They call it a tool, and they perform certain rituals, and one believes that if I only use this one, I'm very lucky. I do not come back empty-handed. So those are the things that we need to do proper search, and it needs to be documented so that it will also help the police in the space.
Yeah, no, most definitely, especially when, you know, you're talking about those categories. So it looks like this is something that we've known for quite some time. There's a greater need now for efforts to ensure that it becomes somewhat of a pass. It can't be in any way institutionalized in a way whereby it becomes part of the society, whereby, you know, the fate of these young boys, some of them, then we know very well that they'll end up being easy gabis because that is what they know. Maybe there's a greater need for conversations here. There's a greater need for law enforcement, even to the point of getting the masterminds or those that are, you know, the ones that call the shots here to kind of clamp down on that and intercept them so they close the gaps in this particular regard. And those COVID operations become important here. Death penalty, it's not going to work in your case here. Fighting fire with fire, and like you gave us that example to say, maybe you know, if we approach it in this regard, as much as we see people you know, angry and people upset by the fact that they're losing their loved ones like this, it's just something that South Africa that won't work, you know, in South Africa as we speak right now.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I mean, we have to be realistic. You know, we are governed by the law. Like we say, we are not democratic. But there are ways, and then that's why we pull out all the, you know, the thoughts in one box and see how we can tackle this. As long as we can deal with the recruitment, the big fishes, then we can eradicate this particular crime. And I'm glad, like what Branik has mentioned, you know, before I forget, he spoke about the way they are so violent in the cash in transit. Do you know that even in the cash in transit, everybody has a role? Not all of them are shooters. There's one that will plug the bombs or, you know, try and open the safe. There's one, they call them Amashais, are the one who only drives and rams the van. And then there are ones who sit at the off-ramp waiting for the aftermath of the whole scenario. Then they jump into the car. But they've got this amavulandlela, which now are inkabis. Now they are the ones who block the road and take the car keys and shoot any helicopter or any response of the police. They are the ones. They are the shooter. They are known with even serious nicknames. And another thing that we also worried about is that even in the hostels, it's easy to access a firearm. For as long as you know to enter into a hostel and speak the language. Because if you're looking for a shotgun, 9mm, you, as long as you can say, I'm looking for IliZulu, you get it. For as long as you say, I'm looking for IliGeja, you know the language is an AK, it's a rifle. Once you know the language, then it's easy to get those guns. So those guns in the hostels are not properly rated. They need to be properly rated to a point that, do you know that it's prohibited to own a firearm in your own space of home without having a safe in your house? So those things, they need to be addressed. They need to be properly rated, this hostel. And isn't Donna, they are crying foul to say, but the buggies, sometimes we see them or sometimes we don't see them in the hostel, and they even take time to respond. It is because when you see them at the hostel, they came just to see a friend. They are also scared. They live in the same community. Some are even residents in those hostels. So that's exactly what we are dealing with.
Yeah, no, there's a lot that we're dealing with here, and just bringing everyone under the same umbrella, the roping in of Izindonas here, will it go a long way? Will it help here in more or less, you know, attempting to tackle this? Does this say to us that the police more or less have, over all of these years, not managed to nip this in the bud, hence they have to go into these hostels and speak to Izindonas? In donors, is this one of their strategies? How do we see them actually winning this war? Because it looks like it's a war where issues of crimes are concerned. It doesn't look like they are winning in terms of dealing with it. This is in Gabi's. Hence, now we see the minister even moving into these hostels. Tell us about this attempt.
Yeah, look, as much as I respect this Induna, I'm a very cultural man myself as well. I feel some of them, they bring issues that are not even related to the sorting out of crime. Like some of them, they want to get equal payments of salaries to the police. They feel, they, you know, those type of things. And some, they even have their own fictions and own fightings, and they unleash some of this youth now to gather their territory or even fight. But as police, they are trained to ventilate and understand the, if you are there giving information, how valuable it is. So working with them, it will yield results as long as the information can be, you know, surfaced and then brought to a point of being analyzed and then verified. And then, you know, they will definitely yield results. But at the same time, one should be careful not to fight certain fictions or politics of, you know, tribalism as well and territory in the same industry.
It's really, he's talking about just ensuring that it's all hands on deck in this regard. It means really, it speaks to the issue of guns as well, because like you say, these people operate with guns. Their main tool is a gun. It speaks to the police then having to revisit the issues of gun control, gun laws, the country's gun laws, and maybe also just going into, maybe we need operations where the police will go into these hostels and try get to understand who stays here and what is happening. Because when the minister thought of just approaching this matter and how we can go about it, he first, the place that he first thought of going to is, you know, the hostels. And when you look at also what has come out of the Senzo Meiwa murder trial, you hear as well that, you know, some of these things happened at the hostels. So hostels, according to you, looking at your experience within this space, do you think, you know, there's greater need for intelligence, greater need for intervention, greater need for patrols and the likes in terms of understanding what happens at these countries' hostels?
Yes, no, indeed, definitely. And part of the stakeholders, you know, is issues like COCTA, Department of Housing, they need to be brought into the space. And, you know, cameras need to be put up in some of these hostels. And like I said, it's very difficult to raid the hostel. Even now, let's say an ordinary policeman is looking for someone, they've got a hostel number. You'll not just go and enter the hostel now without having those specialized units to go and apprehend that person on your behalf. So it's so difficult to move around the space. And while you also, we are on hostel issues, I mean, even in KZN, there are some areas where you are given an excuse or let me say an issue that the police cannot go and patrol in some of those other areas. And they are even well known of harboring incavies. So it becomes a catch-22. So drones need to be used, horses need to be used, dogs need to be used, sniffer dogs and the likes, but they need to be constantly raided. You cannot in an area have a police station and the station commander doesn't sit with the data on how many people owned self-protection firearms in the area. That is another challenge. Like we say, that the proper registration and marking the register of these guns need to be kept, because you cannot have guns all over the show to a point that, you know, there's allegation that some guns are legal, but they are only hired to go and commit a particular crime and then they are brought back with a particular envelope at the end of the day. So those type of challenges, they need to be, you know, being inspected to the latter.
And where do you see us, you know, in these efforts? Do you see us, I mean, this is a years-long kind of an industry, underworld industry. So when you look at it, do you see us actually winning this? What will take for us to say that, you know, we are dealing with, and even easing Gabis, people that understand that the police are onto them? Do we take the approach of what we've seen happening in KZN? The police have really been criticized for being heavy-handed in some of these operations. So what would take for us to, or for these Inkabis to understand that their legacy or whatever they're working on, the industry is under threat here?
Yeah, look, every problem, as long as it's properly diagnosed, I'm glad that the minister has mentioned that he says some of us, like one of us is involved, meaning as he is also a Zulu man,
Zulu, yeah,
coming from KZN, he admitted. I think that's the first point of departure. As long as you diagnose the problem and you admit then you will deal with the problem. Because if the problem becomes a leadership and then the leadership becomes a problem, that's the first point. Now, as long as now we see that this problem now is diagnosed and we call a spade, and then we will now go straight then to the you know, the head of the snake and chop it. Now, coming to the issue where you say police are also criticized in you know, being happy trigger and stuff like that. Like we say always, I say that everybody has a role. You cannot, at some other point, you have a house where it's surrounded and then everybody's being shot, including maybe a garden boy or a maid. Mm-hmm. Or let's take the last incident at KZN. There was a cousin of another boy who didn't have a place to sleep. So the boy, he was naughty. He took that one and said, let's go and sleep at that particular house where mm-hmm. the criminals were all shot, including this cousin brother of his. Now, if you are to inspect such a, that's why IP, they jump in and find out that this one didn't even have a gun, but he was shot. Now, it becomes a problem whereby tomorrow, if an inquiry has to be done, you'll find that the police have acted improper. But another thing is, one must understand, you cannot scare criminals by shooting them, by sending a message to say, we shoot to kill, and then we're sending out a message. These criminals, in their mind, if you like, we've done in the intro of criminology, a criminal thinks that no, Katoho was bad luck. I'm a very good luck person. Police will never find me. Or they had a snitch. They had a pimpy. That's why they were so bad luck. So they don't get feared by so and so is being shot. So the message has been sent out. So we need to have a proper approach in dealing with these criminals.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And we see all of these efforts then coming through from the minister, coming through from the police. Hopefully, as we go about it, we'll get it right. And the hitmen or those that are syndicates in this space will get an understanding of the rule of law and all of these interventions that speak to the country being a safe place for everyone that lives in it. I have to let you go, Calvin. Really appreciate you coming through and giving us your time here and your analysis. Let's just hope that, you know, as we discuss these things, as we open each other's eyes, we're giving those that are the powers that be as well some insights in terms of how they can tackle some of these issues. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, forensic investigator there, Calvin Rafari, coming through to give us really a sense of the developments around this space. There's a lot that has been happening here, and when you look at it, the efforts as well that the police have been doing, but there's a you hear the minister also talking about a greater need for collaboration here, a greater need to ensure that everyone plays their part, but the main purpose, sole purpose, being to ensure that South Africa is a safe place. Let's break a bit from conversations of easing garbies and go into our entrepreneurship corner. But here we'll be just getting a master class from Mdu, who's on standby here. Mdu comes through here as a cannabis expert.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.